We were only really able to identify right now today 7 genomic alterations where we have targeted therapy that we see people utilizing targeted therapy. Yet, when you hear a lot of emphasis on multiplex testing, a lot of people reflex into next-gen sequencing, where you get tons and tons of information. But really, from a practical perspective, aside from research, you want to know about these 7 alterations. Would it make more sense to have a panel of these 7 alterations?
I think one could make an argument for that, for sure. I think you might want to have a upfront quick assay, which would be a multiplex NGS assay by necessity, because already this is a large number of genes and exons and so on. But you could have such a small quick panel up front and then do a broader panel as the follow-up test. But it really depends on, I guess, a number of factors. If your patient population really is not going to have access to clinical trials, then you could reason that it's really only useful to test for the currently targetable alterations. But there are other alterations which may be targetable that are being targeted in the context of clinical trials. And I think it's worthwhile to do that additional testing in case the patient can get connected to and eligible for something that's being targeted in a clinical trial elsewhere. So with ALK, RET, and ROS fusions, one of the challenges for molecular testing is that each of these kinases can rearrange with a whole number of other different partners to be turned on. So although EML4 is the main partner for ALK, there are also many other partners that have been described. ROS1 is even more varied in terms of its fusion partners. And what this means is that we can have just individual assays, EML4, ALK specifically, and some other fusion of ALK and so on. So our testing approaches are designed to pick up any fusion involving one of these 3 genes. And historically, this was done by FISH, just looking for rearrangement of those genes. But now we're using different NGS methods, both DNA-based and RNA-based, to pick up any fusion involving these 3 kinases.
Could you explain at a medical student level how FISH assays are done?
Well, with FISH assays, and the most common form of FISH assay for these fusions is a so-called break-apart FISH assay. So basically, you have one FISH probe that binds at the beginning of the gene, and the other one binds at the end of the gene. And normally those 2 signals, which are different colors, should be next to each other. If you have a rearrangement and a fusion with a gene somewhere else in the genome, those 2 signals then are separated, and you can see that they're no longer contiguous, and you can diagnose a rearrangement that way. So that is certainly historically the most common way to pick up these rearrangements.